pray about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. I invite you to look with us in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 in the Old Testament. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you've weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshipped the Lord there. Verses 1 through 28, all of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful, the very touching, the very powerful and glorious story of a young woman by the name of Hannah who longed to be a mother. Lord, thank you for the many life lessons found in that one powerful and touching chapter. And Lord, thank you for the privilege of being able to see how that you are, as a God who loves us with an everlasting love, are a heavenly Father that hears and answers prayer. Lord, open our minds and our hearts and our understanding to the fact that prayer is one of the greatest gifts you've given us as believers in the world. Help us to learn to be wise enough to put the the weapon of prayer to work every day diligently, faithfully, and very conscientiously. Teach us, Lord, to be a people given to prayer. Empower us to be the people of prayer you've called us to be, and help us to never take lightly the privilege, the opportunity, and the responsibility of being people whose lives are given to prayer. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'd like to remind you that we'd like to invite and encourage you to call in and share your listener testimony. We have our spring share-a-thon coming up in just a few weeks. And if God has used Urban Family to motivate you, to encourage you to walk more faithfully with the Lord in your walk with the Lord, or encourage you to get involved in the culture war, we'd really like to hear from you. If you'd call in and share your testimony, your listener story, we'd appreciate hearing from you. The number to call is 1-877-327-5647. Again, that number is 1-877-327-5647. Again, our share-a-thon is coming up April 4th through the 6th, just a few weeks away. And if we could hear from you, we'd really appreciate it. One more time, that number to call in and share, simply share a listener testimony, 1-877-327-5647. Let me also remind and encourage you also to do this. Please go to our website, urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com, and subscribe. We'd appreciate that. Also, take a look at some of the blogs and the articles, the spiritually encouraging articles that you'll find there. Also, I want to remind you, too, that we do have free mobile apps that you can obtain for your iPhone or for your Android devices. Just go to your app store and search for Urban Family Talk, and that would be a way that would allow and help you to listen to Urban anywhere you might find yourself on any given day, in your car or traveling, wherever you might be. Again, by taking the app with you, you can listen to Urban anywhere you go. We want to invite you to like our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live. We'd appreciate if you'll take the time to do that. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and today we want to invite you to focus your attention on the topic of the kingdom need for prayer warriors, the kingdom need for prayer warriors. Now, the fact is, as believers in the world, when we talk about the topic of prayer, many people think of it as being sort of important, kind of important, so-so. But keep in mind, as believers, it's so vitally important that we grow up and mature in our faith to the point where we recognize that there's a huge need in the kingdom of God for believers who both take prayer seriously and make it a high priority to really spend time interceding and praying, not just for themselves, not just for their own families, but for the concerns of the kingdom of God. You know, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Keep in mind, what that means is there are many quote-unquote needs that God has that will be filled as God's people really seek first the kingdom. You know, as believers, we can pray very selfishly if we choose to. And sadly, many believers pray just that way. In other words, we can pray for ourselves, pray for maybe our own families, pray for your husband, your wife, which is a good thing. Pray for your children, pray for your cat, your dog, that sort of thing. But, you know, we need to be praying for the concerns of the kingdom of God. One of the things the Word of God tells us clearly in the New Testament to pray for, pray that God would send forth laborers into his harvest field. Now, what does that mean? When you and I pray that God would send forth laborers into the harvest field, that means God will stir people to walk out their calling. You know, there are a lot of people in the world, believers who are saved, who are not in their calling. For example, people that may be salespersons that should be preaching the gospel, or maybe persons that are teaching school when they should be in business, or people in any of a number of different professions, you know, areas of work or professions. But keep in mind, we're supposed to learn what the call of God is in our life and walk that calling out. Now, if you ask, well, why is that important? Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, because again, God anoints people for that which they're called to do. He anoints us, equips us, and empowers us with the wisdom, the gifts, the graces, and the strengths to excel in the area he has called and gifted us in. On the other hand, when we walk in a direction where we're not called in, often we're not good at it, we're not very successful at it, we're very frustrated, we find ourselves empty and bored and don't know what to do. And often we find ourselves longing to be somewhere else, doing something else, because we just recognize somehow or another we understand we're out of place. But when you're in your calling, you're good at it by the grace of God, you're effective at it, and you're a greater blessing to people than others that do that very same thing because you have a calling and an anointing to do that. So it's important that people walk out and live their calling. There are lots of believers who are not in their calling. They're doing something they have no business doing. They're going in a direction they're not supposed to be going in. So when you and I pray that God would send forth laborers into his harvest field, that allows the Spirit of God to go forth to begin to move on the hearts and the lives of people to help them get in the right calling. And I can't overemphasize how important it is for people to be where we are called. Men and women, boys and girls who are walking out the call of God on their life. Why? Because that's where our purpose in life is found in. Remember, whatever God is calling you to do, he's not going to change his mind. The Bible says the call of God is without repentance. What that means is whatever you're called to do, God is not going to one day just say, okay, never mind. I changed my mind. Do something else. No. God ordained his calling for you long before you were ever born. Before the foundation of the world, God knew what he was going to call you to do. And your calling is very important, whatever it might be. That's why it's important that you desire in your heart to walk in that calling and that you have a longing and that you're praying and believing God to help you come to know what that calling is and to live it out. Because not only will it bless you, but the world will be blessed tremendously by you walking out your calling. Why? Because you're designed by God to be what you've been called to be. And you will excel in it as you walk it out. But the key is coming to know what the call of God is on your life and walking that out. Lord, thank you for the fact that every single believer listening has a mighty anointing and a calling in their life, a calling that's very important to them, that calling that's important to their family and their extended family, a calling that's important to their community, their state, their nation, and the world. Lord, open our eyes to recognize the need for us to understand that as we pray for you to send forth laborers into your harvest, that more and more your people will come to know what they're called to do and walk out that calling and begin to be the blessing that you ordained for them to be before the foundation of the world. Lord, I pray that every single person listening will recognize that if they're not in their calling or they're not sure about it, that they need to begin the journey of pursuing to find out exactly what you've called them to do, knowing that it's important for the whole kingdom of God that they come to know and walk out that calling. Lord, help all of us. Help us to never be content just doing something to get by. Help us to never be content just doing something to make a paycheck. Help us to know, Lord, that the eternal purposes of your kingdom are directly connected to your children coming to know the call of God upon their lives and they're walking that calling out. Help us, Father, to take it seriously in the church. And help us to pray more diligently every day that you would send forth more laborers into your harvest field. Lord, you let us know the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Father, raise up more and more people that will come to know their calling and live it out. Raise up more and more people that will become effective witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers who understand the need for us to be involved in the work of the spread of the gospel every single day. The need for us to recognize that we're to be involved in the work of making disciples every single day. Teach us, empower us, and equip us to be faithful in doing these things. And guide us every day of our lives to pray more and more that you would send forth laborers into your harvest. Thank you for the opportunity to be involved in this very important kingdom work. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic of the need, the kingdom need for prayer warriors. We'll be right back.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The Trump administration sparked the ire of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro when the U.S. Treasury Department imposed sanctions on the Venezuelan Vice President, Tarek El Asami. Why? Because Asami has been tied to a passport racket as well as prolific international drug trafficking. The racket includes Asami selling as many as 173 passports to Middle Eastern natives, including people connected to the Hezbollah terrorist group. The vice president of a socialist country using his office to traffic drugs and sell passports to known terrorists. Are we still debating national immigration policy?
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Recently, I was heading to my regular doctor's office for a checkup. As I approached the lady at the front desk, I explained to her that my health insurance has changed. She goes through the protocol of telling me to fill out another form. No biggie, right? As soon as I handed her the card to my new insurance carrier, she informs me that this year they decided not to carry that particular health insurance. If I was to tell you that I was smiling, I would be lying, and I call myself a Christian for a reason. As I walked out holding back the tears, I get into my car, and a song called Good Good Father is playing through my radio. Instantly, the Lord assured me that He always takes care of His babies. Needless to say, tears began flowing down my face, but not because of the health insurance, but the assurance that God gave me right then. Psalm chapter 3, verse 3 says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high." He is a good, good father. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at UrbanFamilyTalk.com. One of my favorite jams is by the talented family Forever Jones called He Wants It All. Every year, and even throughout New Year's, one thing on people's list to improve on, other than losing weight, is a closer relationship with Jesus. Today, right now, is always the best day to give our Heavenly Daddy your all. How do you do that, you ask? One great start is by asking Him, "What is it that you would have me to do today for your glory?" Keep in mind, it will consist of trials, faith, and guts. Yes, guts. Living for Jesus is never a dull moment. In fact, it's an adventure. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus is speaking and He says, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Music of Nicole C. Mullins, the song On My Knees, a song with a great reminder of the priority that prayer really needs to be in the life of every believer in the whole wide world. Today we're looking at the important topic of the kingdom need for prayer warriors. Again, the kingdom need for prayer warriors. Again, keep in mind, amongst other things, the Word of God does tell us that we're to pray that God would send forth laborers into His harvest field. Again, the more we pray for that, the more God's people will be sent out into the harvest field in the area of where they're called to carry out God's work. So let's faithfully pray every single day of our life that God would send forth more laborers into His harvest field. And of course, remember this, when we pray for that, the Holy Spirit knows what to do. Remember this, it's very important to understand this. Prayer is largely about the work of the Holy Spirit, and it's very helpful to understand that. Remember, the Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit is the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the hand of God. And prayer is largely about the Holy Spirit. Amongst other things, when you pray, prayer releases the Holy Spirit to work. Now, for persons that may not understand that, they may misunderstand and think, well, you act like, well, the Holy Spirit's your servant. No, you need to understand clearly what's going on. No, we work for God. He doesn't work for us. We work for God. However, God has made it such that we're in cooperation with God and with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. When we pray, somehow or another, God and his kingdom has connected himself to prayer. And John Wesley describes that dynamic very beautifully. But somewhere or another, though we may not understand why, God has connected himself to pray, so much so that when we pray, the work and the will of God can get done in the world. When we don't pray, sometimes things that God wants to happen doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen at least in his timing, because God's people have not prayed. So never underestimate the importance of your being a person given to prayer. Yes, your prayers make a difference. Even if a billion other believers are praying at the same time, your prayers make a difference as well, because you, God has made you to be an important part in the kingdom of God. So prayer is largely about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does. The more you pray, the more of the Holy Spirit is released to work. And the more prayerful a life you live, the more the Holy Spirit will work in your life and through your life and around your life. So keep in mind, understanding this, prayer is largely about the work and the ministry and the operation of the Holy Spirit. I want to share with you briefly something that I was given. It was basically, it's called the ABCs of the Holy Spirit. And it's words using the alphabet that remind us of the work and the power of the Holy Spirit as he works in life. A refers to anointed and abundance. B refers to blasted, bombed, and blessed. C refers to consumed and can't get enough. Again, we're talking about the ABCs of the Holy Spirit. D refers to doubled, drenched, and doused in the Holy Spirit. E refers to electrified and engulfed. F refers to fire and freedom. And of course, the word says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. G refers to gentle, grateful, grilled, God-smacked. H refers to holy, healing, happy, and hungry. I refers to inspired, inundated, and odd behavior. J refers to joy, jubilee, Jesus, jumping, and jelly-legged. K refers to kindled spirit. L refers to light, lovely, lifting. M, and again, we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. M refers to manifested and magnificent. N refers to not done and nuked. O refers to open and overcoming. P refers to power and peace. Q refers to quickened. Again, as we're speaking of the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Q refers to quickened. R refers to rest, renewed, refilled, and ridiculous. S refers to sanctified, satisfied, and sizzled. T refers to thirsty and thankful. U refers to undignified and undone. V refers to vulnerable like a dove. W refers to wasted, wanting, and woe. X refers to exuberant. Y refers to Yahoo. And Z refers to zapped and zippy. Again, a list referring to the ABCs of the Holy Spirit. Again, as I mentioned a moment ago, prayer is about the work of the Holy Spirit. Remember, when we work, but when we pray, God works. Let me repeat that again. When we work, but when we pray, God works. That's part of why it's so wise for us to fill our lives with prayer, because remember, everything you can do, every good thing that you and I can do in the world, you know the Holy Spirit can do it a whole lot better. And or he can empower you to do whatever it is that you're doing a whole lot better, a whole lot more effective, a whole lot more fruitfully as you simply ask God to bless you as you do it. So it's wise to be very prayerful about any and everything you set out to do in life. Whatever the task is that's before you, be prayerful about it. It's foolish to decide, oh, I don't need to pray about this. I can handle this. I got this. That's not a wise approach to anything. Why? Because remember, no matter how good you are at something, the Holy Spirit can help you do it better. No matter how skillful you are, no matter how clever you are about it, the Holy Spirit can help you to do even better. We're wise to seek to do that. And understand this, along with helping you do it better, the Holy Spirit will take that task before you and help you do it in such a way that it can point people to Jesus. Now, you might think, well, I work at a factory and I do something all day long, the same thing. I don't see how putting rivets on a car can point people to Jesus. Well, that's why you don't understand how powerful the Holy Spirit is. Yes, he can use you putting rivets on a vehicle to point people to Jesus because he's God. He knows how to do it. So the key is pray about whatever you're doing and ask God to use it for his glory. Don't just do it to say you're doing it. Do it and ask God to bless it and to glorify himself through it. So we're wise to be prayerful about everything because, remember, prayer releases the Holy Spirit to work. And God desires more of us to be kingdom prayer warriors because, remember this, God's work and his kingdom is built largely through the work of prayer. And it's as God's people pray that God's work gets done. Just because you're going through the motions of doing something you've been told by the Lord to do, don't think God is blessing it as much as he can or would like to. That's why it's wise to pray on top of what you've been called to do. Wonderful example in the Word of God. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, a very interesting and powerful scene is found in this book. And I've referred to it, I don't know how many times on this broadcast, and I'm going to keep referring to it because it's a powerful scene with a very important life lesson. In the book of Isaiah chapter 6, it's basically is where God gives Isaiah a vision of heaven. And in that vision, Isaiah sees into the throne room. And God is in the throne room, lifted up on his throne. And the angels are covering God in many regards. And Isaiah's response is, "Woe is me, I am undone." And he talks about his unclean lips and dwelling amongst unclean people. But then by the grace of God, God cleanses him and prepares him for his work. Now, God has called Isaiah to be a great prophet of the Lord. But in addition to being called, Isaiah doesn't just stop with being called. He prays for God to use him. So specifically looking in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it says this, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" So Isaiah is called of God to be a great prophet. But in addition to being called and anointed, Isaiah still prays for God to send him. He basically makes himself available. He's telling God, "God, I'm available. Use me this day. Use me for your glory." You know, as believers, we need to pray like that on a regular basis. In fact, it would be wise for us to pray that prayer every day. Every day of your life to pray, "Lord, here am I, send me this day to do your will." You might say, "Well, why do I have to ask? I know God wants to use me and I'm prepared to be used. Why do I need to pray and ask?" Well, this is why you should pray and ask. Because remember, prayer, amongst other things, releases the Holy Spirit to work. And if you ask, God will do a lot more through you today than he would have if you hadn't asked. Even if you seek to live the life of an obedient believer, if you ask God to use you more today, he'll do it, and he's glad to do it. Why? Because God is looking for children who will ask. The Bible says, "Ask and you will receive, seeking you will find, knock, and the door will be opened." God is looking for, he loves for his children to ask him, "Lord, use me today. Help me to be a blessing today. Use me to encourage someone. Use me to help someone come to know Jesus today. Use me to edify and encourage someone." God is looking for children that pray like that, and he doesn't have enough of them. So if you're wondering to yourself as a man or woman of God, am I talking to you? Yes, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to all of us because God has so much work to be done and he doesn't have enough children asking to be used. Now, again, we all need to pray like Isaiah, even though you may be called of God and you may be walking out your calling. But that's why you need to pray and ask God to use you more, because God is glad to do it because he has so much work to be done. And to be very honest, it's important to understand this. Part of the work of walking out the call of God is you pray and then you listen to as to what God is going to tell you to do. Well, for many believers, they pray, but you know, it appears that God has a lot of children that are hard of hearing. They don't listen very well. And so sometimes something that God wants them to do, that he's told them to do, they either try to ignore it or try to put it off or postpone it. And sometimes, again, some of the needs in the kingdom of God are time sensitive. They need to be done. Remember, God wants things done in his timing. Well, the fact is, sometimes God may skip over the first person he moves upon to do something because they're not willing to obey right away. And he'll find someone who will listen to him and do it, and he'll bless that second person because they obeyed. Now, I believe I can speak for every listener listening. You don't want to miss your blessing. So listen and obey. When the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, listen and do it. Often, God's goal is to use us to be a vessel to answer prayer. One of the reasons why often we feel a leading of God to do something, to call someone, to pray for someone, to give them money or give them something that will help them, is because somebody has prayed and asked God for something. And when we hear the Holy Spirit tell us to do something, often he's told us to do it because somebody has prayed and we're the vessel that God is going to use to answer prayer. That's why I don't need to disobey God, because again, if I disobey, God may have to find someone else to answer that person's prayer, and I miss out on the opportunity of being God's vessel to bless that individual. And it may also be delayed because I didn't respond right away. And in some instances, someone may miss a blessing because I didn't do what I was told to do. So that's why we all have to listen to God, listen to the Holy Spirit, and do what the Spirit of God tells us. One of the great needs in the kingdom of God is for all of us to pray for God to bless our prayer lives, to pray for God to anoint us and to set us on fire with the spirit of prayer, that we would become prayer warriors. Why? Because remember, prayer is one of the most important activities in the kingdom of God. It's so fruitful because remember, prayer releases the Holy Spirit to work. And remember, the Holy Spirit is God. He always knows what to do. But often what the Holy Spirit is doing is he's hovering and he's waiting. Remember, the Holy Spirit, amongst other things, is the hand of God. Why do we call the Holy Spirit the hand of God? It's because the Holy Spirit is the means whereby God does so many things in his kingdom. And so he is the hand of God. And the Holy Spirit's the hand of God. He's the power of God. He's the grace of God. He's many things. But amongst other things, he's the hand of God. And often he's waiting. Why is he waiting? He's waiting on direction from God. But you know, it's through when God's people pray, often God's direction comes through the prayers of his church. So keep in mind, for example, as in the book of Genesis chapter 1, it says chapter 1 verses, starting at verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." And notice this, hovering means to hang and wait in the air. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit was doing. He was hanging and waiting in the air. What was he waiting on? What was he hanging in the air for? He was waiting on direction from God. Verse 3 says, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." Well, once he said, "Let there be light," God's command, his word, released the Holy Spirit to work to bring into action what God said. Well, the fact is, when we pray, prayer also releases the Holy Spirit to work. He's waiting, and often he's waiting, hovering, waiting for God's people to pray. Because when we pray, remember, when we work, when we pray, God works. God works. So that's why, as believers, the more we pray, the more the Holy Spirit can work to get the work of God done in the world. The kingdom of God needs prayer warriors, people that take prayer seriously. In other words, there's a need for believers to not just pray for 2 or 3 minutes before they leave the house in the morning. We should spend seasons in prayer, really spend time covering concerns and issues in the kingdom, because that's how God's work gets done. So if you think 2 or 3 minutes a day will do it, that's not enough. We need to spend seasons in prayer daily to get the work of God done. Lord, open our eyes to see this and to respond correctly. In Jesus' name, amen. We're looking at the topic of the kingdom need for prayer warriors. We'll be right back.
Hello.
it's your girl, Victory McIntosh. Catch me Monday through Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m. Central for the Jesus Jams, where I'm all about putting a good beat to some good gospel music. I'm here to inform you of today's hottest topics, along with many of my favorite jams. The Jesus Jams is a place for truth, wisdom, and empowerment with good music. Catch me Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
American Family Association has almost another 500,000 pledge signatures to present to Target, urging them to change their bathroom policy. We've already presented 1 million signatures, but still they persist with a policy allowing transgendered individuals into the bathroom or fitting room of their choice. That policy is dangerous, and it's just plain wrong. If you haven't yet, please sign the pledge to boycott Target at afa.net. If enough of us tell them we're spending our money elsewhere, maybe Target will finally get the message.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says, even though the Bible is a living book, not everybody experiences it that way. He'll explain why today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
A young lady will go to the drugstore and she'll get a pregnancy test kit. And then she takes the test. The test comes up, you're pregnant. So she's read what the test is about. She's taken the test. The test says you're pregnant. They come to our pregnancy center. Some are abortion-minded. They want to get rid of the pregnancy. But what we always say is, before you do, let us give you a sonogram. It's going to let you see what you read about and what the color said on the strip, but now you're going to see life inside of you. And most of the ladies, when they see life, change their mind. Because now what was written is now visible. See, if you only do with what is written and you never get to a sonogram of the reality of Jesus Christ in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, then you're going to react without seeing what this picture is all about and this life that God wants to explode inside of you. You must pursue a relationship in order to make what the Bible has written come alive in you. So if you do not pursue a relationship with Jesus Christ personally, the Bible will stay a dead book to you, even though it's a living book. It won't be alive in you. It'll just be a bunch of words you read on a daily basis because you're not pursuing a relationship.
You can read hundreds of Dr. Evans' best stories in Tony Evans' Book of Illustrations. Check into getting a copy today at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Praise is the weapon.
I'll clap.
I'll wave.
In everything,
I'll pray.
The music of Marvin Sapp, the song Teach My Hands to War. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, today we're looking at the topic of the kingdom need for prayer warriors. Let me remind you once again, too, we hope that you will, again, call in and share a listener testimony. We have our share-a-thon coming up in just a few weeks, and if you've learned from or been inspired by what you've heard on Urban Family Talk, we'd appreciate hearing from you if you'll call in and share a testimony of how God has used Urban Family to encourage you in your walk with the Lord, to encourage you as a believer, to help you to become a more fruitful vessel in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Simply call this number 1-877-327-5647. Again, 1-877-327-5647. Share your listener testimony. It will be recorded, and you just might hear yourself on Share-a-thon in just a few weeks. Once again, that number is 1-877-327-5647. Again, we're looking at the topic of the kingdom need for prayer warriors. And remember this, again, there's such a need for us as believers to both grow in our understanding of both how to pray and to pray more effectively and to really spend time in prayer. Because remember, prayer is work, and it can be hard work. And it's something that takes time as well. God needs more believers that will spend seasons in prayer. In other words, spend significant time. You know, we sometimes pray the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. But the reality is some people have never spent a half hour in prayer in their life, much less an hour. But God desires that we learn to be believers, that more and more of us would be believers, that will get up in the night seasons and really spend time, sometimes 30 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, maybe even 2 hours, really praying about concerns and needs, doing battle in prayer. That's what prayer warriors are called to do. There's so many needs. And remember, when we pray, the work of God gets done when God's people pray. Real briefly, I want to share with you a passage I often share, but it's from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And I want you to listen to it. Now, I want to mention that when you read the passage, keep this in mind. You know, the passage itself doesn't mention prayer, but it has a number of important prayer lessons and prayer truths in it. But again, it's the Gospel of John, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." Verses 1 through 10, John chapter 2. Again, a passage doesn't mention prayer, but let me tell you why it's such a powerful passage that teaches important truths about prayer. Well, again, obviously, a wedding, a joyous occasion. People came to the wedding. Well, Jesus' mother comes to the wedding and points out that she attended. But it specifically points out in verse 2, it says, "Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding." Someone was wise enough to invite Jesus to the wedding. Now, it doesn't say who invited them. Probably it was the groom. But someone invited Jesus and his disciples to the wedding. Well, when a problem came up, they ran short on wine. Well, Jesus' mother immediately goes to Jesus and lets him know they have no wine. Now, remember, she's not the wedding planner, but she sees a problem. She goes to Jesus. Why? Because she's probably very used to the fact that Jesus, and remember, she's the mother of Jesus, and she raised Jesus from a childhood, but she knew this: Jesus fixes problems. And, you know, if we're wise enough to invite Jesus through prayer into the events, the concerns, the issues, and the parts of our lives, every part of our life, when Jesus is there and we look to him and ask him for help, Jesus can fix any and every kind of problem there is. So it's through prayer we invite Jesus into the affairs, the concerns, the challenges in our lives. And if we're wise, we'll invite him to everything. There are no events or issues or parts of our lives where we shouldn't want to invite him. We should want to invite him into every part of our life through our prayer life. So we're wise to do that. And again, remember, it's not just about our needs and our concerns. We need to pray for the concerns of the kingdom of God. You know, you should pray every day for your pastor. You should pray every day for the leaders in your local church fellowship. You know, the Word of God also lets us know we're to pray for leaders and for kings, for those who are in authority. You should pray every day for the president, the vice president. And remember this, this is true for every president in every time, in every era of life. You know, sometimes people like the president. Sometimes they don't like the president. Sometimes they like what he does. Sometimes they don't like what he does. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say pray for him if you like him. It doesn't say pray for him if you don't like him. It says pray for kings and those who are in authority. You pray for him no matter what. Whether you agree or not, pray, because remember, the Spirit of God can work on the mind and the heart of the king, whoever he or she might be. So yes, we should pray daily for the president, for the vice president, pray for Congress, pray for the Supreme Court, pray for the governor of your state, pray for leaders in the U.S. Congress, pray for the leaders in your state legislature, pray for the mayor and the city alderman of your town, pray much for spiritual leaders. All of these are important things believers should do. I want to share with you my email address. And keep in mind, there are a number of prayer tools that we like to share often with people that want to get them, believers that really want to get serious in their prayer life to become a more effective tool that God can use. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And we'd be glad to send some to you. Let me share with you one in particular that I share about often. It's called Daily Prayer Tools, and it has 7 specific prayers that I would encourage you to get and to begin to pray for every single day. Now, one of the reasons why I specifically share it that way is because, again, all of them are prayers that come either directly from the Word of God or they're based on the Word of God. And every day you pray them, God will answer them. All of them are what I'd call kingdom prayers. As you pray them, more and more the work and the will of God will get done through you and through your prayer life as you pray for each of these specific items. Well, they include the Lord's Prayer, the prayer of Jabez, praying the Ten Commandments, then the prayer for wisdom, like the prayer Solomon prayed for in 1 Kings chapter 3, then the prayer specifically like the prayer that Isaiah prayed in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, then the prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed very quickly after he got saved. He asked the Lord the question, what would you have me to do this to do? A good prayer to pray every single day, asking God what he wants you to do. And then the final one is the prayer of Jehoshaphat, found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. Now, the prayer is actually broader than that verse, but a key part of the verse, the key part of the prayer was, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Well, the whole prayer is a good prayer to put to use in your life as well. But all 7 of those, all those prayers are included on the Daily Prayer Tool sheet. Simply email us. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Get the prayer tool sheet, the Daily Prayer Tool sheet, and pray them every day. And remember, it doesn't take all day long to do that. You can literally pray all of them in about 5 minutes. It doesn't take long. But remember this, when you pray strategically and according to the Word of God, obviously that's the most fruitful and blessed kind of prayer we can pray, to pray according to the Word of God. And so, again, that email, jparker@afa.net. Also, I want to encourage you to get another prayer tool that we use. It's a prayer book entitled Praying in Victory. Now, understand this, you can download it yourself if you choose to. You can find it at prayinginvictory.com. Again, prayinginvictory.com. But it's a great prayer book that covers 9 specific areas of need in the kingdom of God. The first prayer is praying for the government. Then another one is praying for nations. A third one, praying for Jerusalem. And of course, we're to pray for Israel and for Jerusalem as well. And the next one says praying for missionaries. The next one, praying for pastors, then praying for pastors' family, praying for the church, praying for relationships. And the last but not least is praying for children. Now, again, all of them are biblically based prayers based on the Word of God. And I would encourage you to either download it yourself at prayinginvictory.com or email me and I'd be glad to send you a link to it or send you information as to how you can get it. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Now, if you begin to take time to pray, for example, if you get this prayer book, for example, and pray through all 9 prayers every single day, understand this, In a sense, this makes you an instant prayer warrior. Why is that true? Because these are critical areas in the world and in the kingdom of God that every day you pray for them, God will answer the prayer and the Spirit of God will work on those areas of need in the world and in the kingdom of God. Every day you take time to pray them through, God will answer. And so I want to encourage you, please be sure and get this. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net, or you can download it yourself at prayinginvictory.com. Again, an excellent prayer book that will help you pray effectively and according to God's word in these 9 specific areas of prayer. Also, I'd be glad to email you as well a couple prayers. One is a husband's daily prayer for his wife and a wife's daily prayer for her husband. These are prayers that you can pray that will help you pray effectively and fruitfully for your spouse. And of course, one of the prayers in the prayer book, the last one I mentioned, was praying for our children. In particular, parents, pray that prayer over your children every single day. And remember, every day you pray it, God is going to answer it and work on your children. So remember, parents, one of the most loving things we can do for our children is to pray for them, as well as teach them how to pray and model a prayer life before them. And so, again, please email us. I'd be glad to send any and all of these prayer tools that you'd like. Just simply email me at jparker@afa.net and just let me know which ones, or if you say, I just want all of them, well, I'd be glad to send all that you would like. But remember, all of them are simply tools that help you pray more effectively and help you pray according to the Word of God. And remember, prayer is work. It can be hard work, but it's very serious work. But it's very, very productive. Remember, when we work. But when we pray, God works. And the wisest people in the world fill their lives with prayer. So just like John chapter 2 in the story of the wedding at Cana of Galilee, be wise enough to invite God into every part of your life, every area of your life, every challenge in your life. Through prayer, invite Jesus in to help you, to guide you, to strengthen you, to help you in whatever challenge you may be dealing with. Lord, thank you for the fact that you're a God that loves to answer prayer and that you look forward to answering the prayers of your children as we simply take time to make it a priority to pray. Teach us and empower us to be a people that live lives given to prayer. Help us to be wise enough to pray every day as men and women praying for our families. Help us as husbands to pray daily for our wives. Help wives to pray daily for their husbands. Help us as dads and moms to pray daily for our children and our grandchildren and for extended family as well. Help us be wise enough to be leaders who pray much for our pastors and our spiritual leaders, who pray for leaders in government. Help us to know, Lord, that it needs to be a high priority for us to spend much time in prayer. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity to use that. Just fill us afresh today with the spirit of prayer. Set us on fire afresh with that spirit. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.